Live from the Inatech e-marketing summit, it's the Conversion Scientists, www.conversionscientist.com.
Hello. So what I'm going to try to do is get through this presentation. It's normally a two-hour workshop, but I think y'all will have a good idea of what kind of website you're building, which I think is the most important thing. And then we're going to talk about pick three strategies that I think if you don't ace them, you're going to have a lot of problem with conversion. So our problem is this. We got a lot of choices out there on the web about how we drive traffic, how we deal with traffic. Apps and widgets, social networks are really coming on, blogs, search marketing, search optimization. What I want to do is help you decide, understand what the basic pattern of your website is and what strategies you should be focusing on, especially when a lot of us are dealing with shrinking budgets. So we're going to talk about the sales funnel because I think it's important in picking three strategies. We're going to talk about the questions you should ask your visitors, which in my business, understanding what your visitors want is the key to conversion success. Which of the five basic website patterns apply to you? Which strategies fall out as most important for those? If you go to my blog, I talk about these things a lot, www.conversionscientist.com, and you can subscribe through email. So let's talk about the sales funnel. How many of you are familiar with the sales funnel? Relatively new to the crowd. All right. The idea of the sales funnel is that this is all the people that will be coming close to our company. We're focused on the web for this particular presentation. And it's largest at the top, how many people are aware of us. And then it gets smaller, the number of people who are considering our solution. And then at the bottom, a smaller segment of the population is going to take action on our site. So your prospects become aware of your company and the solutions it provides. They begin to explore the solution set, you versus the competitors, what your pros and cons are, and then they decide they've got enough information, they're ready to take action. We want to make sure that we have strategies in place for all levels of this funnel. On the web, we call it traffic coming to your site, content, and calls to action. So instead of asking what should we say about us on your website, I propose that there are some better questions to ask. What do you want your visitors to accomplish on your site? Do you want them to buy something? Do you want them to read important information about your company? Do you want them to become a lead, subscribe to your newsletter? Do you know why your visitors are visiting? This is really important, especially in the persona process. What made them, at this point, type in your URL or type the search terms that brought them to your website? What do your visitors want to see? So somebody who has a toilet that's leaking and ruining their floor is going to visit a plumber site in a very different frame of mind than somebody who's considering some renovations. The guy with a leak is going to jump on the first solution he finds that he thinks will solve the problem in a timely manner. The guy who's doing some plumbing for a renovation, he'll take a longer period of time, he'll consider options and things like that. Have an idea of what the story is affecting your visitor's frame of mind on your site. How do your visitors want to take action? What are they looking for? The guy who's got a leak, he's looking for a phone number, right? The guy who is considering renovations, he maybe wants to understand other people you've done renovations with, get an idea of the cost. Are you more expensive, less expensive? What's your process? Are you a big company, small company? Those sorts of things. How will your visitors use what you offer? Are they going to consume it there on your website? Are they going to take it offline? Is it shoes? Is it Facebook? How are they going to be using the product? So get out a piece of paper. We're going to answer these questions, and we're going to have you identify what marketing pattern your website fits into. First question, what do you want your visitors to do? I simplified it down to a few. You either want them to buy, you want them to read the content that's on your site, or you want them to contact you. Contact you can be a phone number. It can also be signing up for a lead for a newsletter, email program, discounts, those sorts of things. Got it? Pick one of the three. Where do your visitors come from? Are they coming from your marketing? Anything from your Yellow Pages ads to your search marketing? It also includes any social marketing you're doing. Are they coming from word of mouth primarily? A lot of our businesses are dependent upon our networking and our word of mouth. Is your sales channels developing? Are you using telemarketers? Are affiliates sending them? Suppliers, are they sending them? Or do you have your own sales team that's doing outbound cold calling? Or are they repeat customers? People who come, they buy from you once, and you want them to come and buy it and buy again. So pick one of those four as your primary. The most valuable content on your site is, it's about you, about what you make, or are you trying to solve problems? And I will tell you that most people are trying to solve problems on your site if they're ready to convert. Alternatively, today, there is another category of this, is most of the content user-generated content. Are you accepting reviews? Are you republishing things that people are offering on your site? Kind of a Web 2.0 phenomena. Is there anybody who has user-generated content as a part of their site? A couple here. Okay, great. So when people consume what you offer, do they generally make a spontaneous purchase decision? They find the solution and they buy. They find the solution, the offer, and the price that they like, and they buy. Or is it going to be a considered purchase? Considered purchases are pretty typical in the business-to-business world. Sales cycles, decision cycles might be months. There might be more than one person involved. So this is more of a considered purchase. Put your visitors in one of those categories. Your product is or service is consumed online or offline. Pretty straightforward. All right, so take your answers and map them onto this hopelessly complex table. And I'm going to take you through the five patterns. First of all, a brochure site or a sales site. Information portal or thought leadership, where the content is king. Consumer or e-commerce site. Considered purchase, again, often B2B. Or site as a service, and this includes Web 2.0 websites. Does anybody not feel like they fit in one of these patterns comfortably? Nobody? No what ifs, but we's? We're different?
Nonprofits fit.
Good question. I don't break out nonprofits because I think on the web, nonprofits make a mistake by putting themselves in a different bucket. I think nonprofits serve themselves best by realizing that even though they might be donation-oriented, they are providing a service, they are providing a value. A lot of nonprofits, the primary value they serve is the visitor feeling good about how they're spending their money. That's a service, and you need to be upfront with that. You need to lead with that. Your content needs to support that. Your email needs to support that, etc. So I would say if you're a nonprofit, you can fit into any one of these. Most nonprofits default to the brochure sales support, but I think in a nonprofit, the opportunity for information portal thought leadership is a great opportunity. Real quickly, I'm going to run through what they are. Brochure site, I picked this one actually because this is a considered purchase product. This should be a considered purchase site, but they did a pretty good job with the brochure style. They don't offer any way for me to interact with them. I can't download white papers, and the content is all about them and their product. So they try to educate, but it's very me, 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 me. And I don't believe that this website is going to be effective for them beyond just making people feel comfortable. Portal site, this is interesting. I picked Oprah.com because she has no main navigation. There's no our products, our services, about us, contact us. When you have a thought leadership site, you need to get the content onto the homepage, and we'll talk a bit more about that. She does a great job of doing this. E-commerce, here's a technology e-commerce site that I thought did a fairly good job of presenting different levels to buy. The considered purchase, as I said, could be is dealing with people who will be at your site at several places, potentially leaving your site, coming back to your site. And the example I'm using here is Oracle. So what they do is they use their homepage to talk about all the different kind of information offers they've got. They're having to educate people on a number of products. It's a technical sell, so they've got events, they've got podcasts, they've got blogs. They break it up by industry. You can read white papers. There's a number of resources here for the different segments they go into. They have a lot of information to make this website, to make this homepage work. Definitely a considered purchase. Site as a service. This is a company called Dwellgo that is building an online community where people with property are meeting people who want to invest in property or want to buy property. So let's go through each of these. What are the key strategies that each one of these patterns must get right? These are the minimum set in my mind. Number one, the brochure site's primary job is to present a brand, make you feel like this is a credible company. Design is important. Now, a lot of you might be saying, well, Isn't design important to everything? I'm going to argue no. If you've got limited resources, are you going to invest in a top-of-the-line designer, or you can invest in other strategies? In this case, yes, a good designer is very important. You need to look professional. The homepage has to work. And the most important thing a brochure can do is make it easy to contact you again. We're trying to support the sales process, so we want to make sure that it's easy, that they have a phone number, email addresses, and understand who they should be getting in touch with, listing the different offices you might have. So make it very easy for them to get for visitors to get back in contact with you. These come from the old days, really, when people built brochures and they didn't know who would be reading the brochure. So they tended to be very broad language, all about the products and benefits. We don't have that. We don't have to do that on the web anymore. We know who's coming. We have the analytics. We can measure it. We can put lead generation out there to find out who's interested. So most of the web looks like this, and I think that if I have anything to do with it, it will stop looking like that. The portal. So as I said, the homepage is really important. Don't bury your content, and don't assume that everybody is going to do that top nav where they drill our products and then your categories and then your industries and then get down to the white papers or whatever the information is that they're looking for. Bring specific stuff to the homepage. Oprah's radio right on the homepage. The book club right on the homepage. The new web series is right on the homepage. Very specific. And her main story here is the global adventure, the O Ambassadors launch. Very specific content. And this is the way a thought leadership should work. Navigation is important. Navigation in the content is critical. So if you're going to have Oprah's book club, the navigation needs to be near there. Again, she did not use any top nav. I'm not saying top nav is bad, and people who think logically, who are methodicals, they're going to be looking for that navigation where they can drill down into the tree. We design all of our sites relying on that, when methodicals really make up less than a quarter of the population in general personality. And if your business draws people who are going to be more spontaneous or more competitive, or for nonprofits who might draw more humanist, it's not going to carry the mail for you, and you need to have other navigation. So if you're on the navigation for a portal or thought leadership site, if you say podcast, webinars, white papers, you're not going to get people into the site and engaged. You can have those links on your top nav, again, logically for your methodicals. But I recommend down the side you have specific titles. So rather than say podcasts, I would say April 15th, who was on the show, what topics you talked about. Or you can lead with one that you think is really hot. You know, Oprah's got tons of content underneath this. She's editorially deciding what she thinks or what her editors are deciding what they think is important, what's going to draw people into the site. And that can be, you might want to be able to change that depending on what's going on in the news. So do you get an idea what that means to bring the content up, specific content up? It's going to feel like, oh my gosh, we're leaving so much behind. But on this sort of a site, you've really got to look at your homepage as the front cover of a magazine. You can't put everything on there. Get the exciting stuff up there. And on each subsequent page, make sure you're offering additional content that people can go and explore. So it takes a little bit more editorial, but the opportunity here is that these sorts of sites really can drive a lot of traffic, really can educate people on what your business is trying to do, and generate revenue. The e-commerce site. So the most important thing on an e-commerce site is what's called product pages. Now, if you're not selling specific products, you can be selling services and things like that, you still have some form of landing page. Why isn't homepage important to an e-commerce site? So especially if you sell a consumer product, but also in business to business, Google is your homepage. And Google is going to find the most relevant pages among your product pages. So you need to treat each of those as a landing page. Somebody's searching for something. If they will buy then, your landing pages, your product pages need to have the relevant information. The basic specs, the price, a picture, lots of pictures, and then more pictures, and then more pictures zoomed in. Research shows that the more pictures you've got, especially in the consumer area, the higher your conversion rates are going to go. And you have to decide if you have a very spontaneous purchase process, whether or not you even want to give them options to go and check other parts of the site. If you can get traffic to landing pages that you know are coming from search, you can really focus on that. I want you to either buy this product, look at version colors of this product, or in the case of business to business, I don't want you to do anything until you fill out this form and download this white paper. People who are looking for something, they type something into search, it comes to a landing page that's offering a white paper, subscription to a newsletter, article, whatever it is that they need to enter some information for, let them do that and then use the confirmation page to let them explore. If you have a more methodical coming, if you have a longer sales process, even though it's an e-commerce site, you might consider offering related links on those landing pages. But don't do it vicariously. Don't just say, oh, let's give them the whole site and the whole banner. Look for related things. Keep them on what we call the scent trail. Let them continue to explore that product. Does that make sense, everybody? Landing pages in today's world of search are very important. Category navigation, how you categorize your product. This is a mistake a lot of business-to-business people make, is they categorize the products based on how your industry categorizes products. But if you really need to give some thought to what categories you assign your products to from the standpoint of what the visitor is thinking of. Do you pretty much understand, though, that as a, again, as Joe the plumber, you might have elbow pipes and straight pipes and faucets and appliances when people are really looking for guest sink solutions, bathtub solutions, dishwashers, clothes washers. Do you understand the distinction between how you categorize things and visitors do? Finally, the shopping cart. Dude, there's a lot of terrible shopping cart software out there. You need to pick a shopping cart that you have control over. I know a lot of people are using Google and Yahoo, and we would hope that those guys have tested enough that they're doing a good job. This abandonment rates is the first place, if you're an e-commerce site, to look for where you're losing money. What page are people going, I don't feel comfortable about this anymore. How are you losing them? Too many steps, too long forms, asking for too much information, not getting them the pricing and shipping and tax early enough in the process, not providing those reinforcing messages. You're in step two, and in two more steps, you're going to have your shoes on the way. Whatever your audience needs to feel comfortable about, you need to test the heck out of that. Instrument those pages and pick a shopping cart that you can control. Where the buttons go, what goes on the page. Those are going to be more expensive and they require somebody to help you with it. If you're on an e-commerce site, that's where the rubber meets the road. The considered purchase. So I'm going to say that the homepage is very important because during the considered purchase cycle, people will be, they generally generate direct traffic. So people know who you are, you're on their spreadsheet, they're going to come back and answer specific questions. Homepage needs to get them where they're going to answer those questions. And actually, I think a lot of the same strategies that worked for Oprah's site can work here. Oracle brings a whole lot of stuff to the homepage. I think a designer would say they don't use contrast very well, contrast in images to draw the eye to the places they want to go. I'm not a designer, so I'll leave that to smarter people. House list email. So I think these guys made a great case for everybody using email. I'm a huge fan of email. We want email. What is the biggest social network on the planet? Email. Delivers video. It delivers photos. It delivers links. It's person to person. It's, you know, you have your friends list and your contacts list. I think that if you're considering social strategies at this point, unless you're in a heavy Web 2.0 business and you haven't aced email, you're getting ahead of yourself. Landing pages. Again, if you have a lot of information and in a considered purchase, you should provide as much information as your audience needs. Search engines are going to be important. They will help drive people to specific pieces of information, and that may be at the top of the funnel. I place it at the bottom. Most considered purchases are lead generation purchases. So we generate a lead, we get an email address because we've given them a valuable piece of information, and that's how we grow our house list. So that we can email those folks. Then we educate them, we stay on their map. And we're talking about a 9-month sales cycle, and 6 people have to get involved, and the budget went away this month. 3 months later, it may come back. You want to be in their email inbox, or have been in their email inbox, when they say, oh, I really ought to go and check that company. What was that company? Whoever is there is going to win. Site as a service. So there are a lot of Web 2.0 businesses, and actually in businesses that aren't necessarily Web 2.0, if you can take something that your business produces, some piece of content, some sort of service that you can offer through the web, that is a great use of a website. Now keep in mind, a website is an application. So the demo or trial, get them into the application as quick as possible. This is the most important thing. Generally, at the Web 2.0, there's what's called a freemium offer, or you can use a free level. So get them involved with the application as quick as possible. Use user email. So be smart about the notification emails you send. I subscribe to a lot of these, and I get, thank you for joining, verify. Well, I think we saw a great email where it said, thank you for joining, verify. Getting started, here's where you would go first, consider looking at these things, oh, and have you thought about upgrading? And then what do they do on your site that would allow you to generate another email? Make good use of the natural communications that flow from these applications. You're providing great information to help them use the application from a notification standpoint, and go ahead and overcome some of the barriers that keep people from interfacing with them. I'm a member of probably 200 different kinds of social or Web 2.0 applications out there. And I don't get very much email from them. You know, I've started seeing a few of them pick up on it, like, oh man, I signed up for this 8 months ago, and they're finally sending me an email. I prefer to get my stuff by email. So I've got a blog reader, it's full of blogs, and I don't get to make time for that. So I really count on email, a lot of newsletters, and I read 10 to 20% of them. But when I've got the problem that I need to solve and I see that title, that article gets read and that client gets considered, that company gets considered. So it's about timing. It's a service. It's a valuable service. The myth of email is they don't want to get it. No, if you've given them a clear way to opt in and they've checked it rather than you pre-check it, and with every email you let them opt out, if I'm not doing that job anymore, these emails aren't relevant to me, you are not a spammer. You are providing a valuable service to help people solve problems, and you can send as often as your content allows. American Airlines sent me 5 emails in one day, but they were telling me the status of my flight to come up here. I had no problem with that, and they could have sent me 5 more. That works for me. So the kind of content you're sending determines your frequency. The core to all of this, great home pages, great email, great landing pages, is content. So I just wanted to slap up a few ideas about where content can come from. Weekly specials, we talked about user-generated content. One of my favorite strategies, and the one that I use, is I send very at odd times, because I have a service called Feed Blitz and a service called Feed Burner also does this, that whenever I do a new blog post, it goes out as an email. So those people that prefer to receive email get the email. Now I purposely make my blog posts helpful and actionable and entertaining, funny. I think that's what my audience wants. I love that strategy. I have an automatic email that goes out. Discounts, white papers, reports, workshop videos. So if I was videotaping this, that could become another offering on my website. Webinars, stories, demo we talked about. Questionnaires I like. We recently put up a site for an executive coach, and we've created a quiz that, are you ready for executive coaching? Well, it's going to help that person answer a question. They get a report back that helps them understand how this client works, and it engages them. So we get a lot of qualifying information along with their email address. And then we're only going to send them valuable stuff, but we'll send it every day if it's that valuable. Email notifications, are you offering a free consultation, sweepstakes, product descriptions, of course, a podcast of a seminar, which I am recording this, so it will be available as a podcast. Get creative about what comes out of your business that might be of value to your prospects. It's digital. It's malleable. It's easy. You do a blog post or you do a presentation, it becomes a podcast. You pull the transcript, that becomes an article or a white paper. You take pieces of that and you blog about them. Those blogs go out on RSS feed. They become emails. I mean, it is so malleable. We're in a great time. Great time for communicating. So here's what we covered. You should know what questions to ask about your clients or about your visitors. You should know what your unique web pattern is. The three strategies that I believe you should focus on. And how to generate content for your strategies. This is how we can continue the conversation. My blog is the best source. I'm actually on doing a series on web strategies, which will I anticipate going for a year. So we're going to talk about these plus more strategies, what the best practices are, when you should use them. And so I would encourage you all guys to go and visit the Conversion Scientist. So I've got a web strategies page on Facebook that you can look for. Web strategies for business. All right, good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. We're talking about conversion at the Conversion Scientist. www.conversionscientist.com.